Well, thank you for turning into this episode of Entrepreneurial Impact with myself, Joe Martin, and Dave Donaldson. And we've got a great friend, great colleague, and just great overall person, Andrea Daniels, on. I had the pleasure of meeting Andrea when she was still in brokerage and leading an office in the South Jersey territory, and has taken that on and said, I just love meeting people. She might be, there's a concept of how energy is transferable, and you can have negative energy to transfer it over to people and kill their day, and you can have positive energy that's transferable over to somebody and just like enlightens them and gives them the best experience of their life, because you never know what people are going through. And I believe Andrea is one of those people that like you just meet her and inevitably you're going to have like a positive day after that, and your dog could get run over and be like, oh, I just met Andrea and I feel a lot better about this. And I think that's the reason for her entrepreneurial journey has been something that I think a lot of people can tie to, because it's very similar to a lot of people's journey in just that industry of entrepreneurialism. And her journey from being in real estate leadership to then helping out with sales generation to then getting into exactly what to say. And I think it's amazing to see people that go from not in the industry and being in like CrossFit and training and then getting into actually helping people. And I think that the overall thing that Andrea's journey that I've seen from the outside is a constant drive to want to help people. And that's what we've got her on today. And I think she's got some awesome things to drop for people that are on this journey in real estate or small businesses or whatever it may be to make an impact in humans' lives. So Andrea, like, thank you for the time and coming on today. And I'd love for you just to kind of, you know, I opened it up for the things that I've experienced with you, but I'd love for you to kind of tell people about your journey and where you started to where you're at today. And then we'll, you know, dive in some deeper questions for you.
Thank you so much for sharing. Yes, there is a theme where I'm always wanting to help someone. And I believe at a young age, at what you give as an adult, you either did or did not get at a high level when you were younger. So when people give what they need the most of. So my parents really believed in me and were great growing up. And I give hope and support and hype. I like to be people's hype girl. I want to be that one person who believes in someone else that they can do it. So that's been the theme across all of my organizations that I worked for. I was in leadership at Lincoln Financial Distributors for 14 years. Then I moved to Reebok, small company out of Canton, Massachusetts. I was the marketing person in the DC, Virginia area, bringing the brand, inspiring people through fitness. And then I was in South Jersey recruiting or attracting talent and supporting real estate professionals, the same thing, helping them grow their business. Because if you help people achieve their goals, they can do more in life for their family, personally and professionally. So I spent the last over, even though those are very different career paths, the constant is growth, supporting people and helping people. And a lot of it was based around lead generation and lead conversion, because I don't think there's anything such as a cold call. I think you're just calling someone who you're not friends with yet.
Love that. You know, and it's funny, there's an entire mindset. And I look at somebody like you and your history, right, of being in front of people and lead generation and what, making 35,000 calls over time, right?
35,000 hours.
35,000 hours of calls over time. Hours. So countless connections in that period. And that's one of the main sources that we talk to people, that you can't build a business without relationships, and relationships stem back to this 1,000-pound device that we carry around with us called the cell phone. How do you maintain that positivity? Like, this is part of the job and this is what I'm good at. And when I connect with them, something good's going to happen. How do you have that conversation over mindset for business owners that really do struggle with that?
That's a great question. So this goes back to when I was a CrossFit trainer. Is our world is so noisy, and there's so much information being thrown at people and so much negativity, that when I'm speaking with someone, I have the chance to empower or disempower their day with my words. Words are not neutral. They're not Switzerland. So, and I have a sharp tongue. So I can either make their day really great by things that I say, and am I reacting or am I responding? Where I can make it like worse. And I want to be that one person that makes their day better because of the conversation I had. Because I know the rest of their day is filtered with other people just walking through life existing. So let's be intentional about what we're saying, because it's going to affect their lives. So when I prospect, I'm like, my goal, my old company slogan is, our goal is to be the best phone call of your day.
I love that. I think that whole being intentional mindset in conversations is the paralyzation that holds people back, because their intentionality, right? They confuse that with the conversation that they're trying to have, because they're in their mind early on, it's salesy, right? Because they haven't internalized the scripts or the conversations that they're trying to have. The passion might be there, but they don't have the conversational aptitude to express and pivot on the yeah buts or the no's that they'll instantly hear on the other side.
And let me ask you this. Why do you think people feel salesy? This isn't a trick question, maybe kinda. Why do they feel salesy?
Because they're usually being sold to and they don't want to be that person.
Exactly. So how they show up in that conversation is if they can get past how they're showing up in that conversation by showing up with curiosity and making it about the other person, it will become less salesy. So the only way to become less salesy is to not do the things that stereotypical salespeople do. Yeah. So they're pushy. We want to be pulley. And we become pulley when we make the conversation about the other person, not ourselves and our own agenda.
Couldn't you say that the two things that someone that is trying to bestow value onto somebody is they have to have confidence in the value that they're providing?
They do need to have confidence in the value that they're providing. And they can, it would be wise to deliver that value after they've taken the time to build a body of evidence to make sure that value matches what the client wants. For example, on Facebook with the new buyer's agency things, there's been a ton of posts. Here's what I do. Here's the 85,000 things I do for you as a buyer's agent and a listing agent. Well, that's great. But what if only two or three of those things are important to me? Can I pay less? Because I don't need the other stuff. So it's being able to make a recommendation based on what they told you. So yes, you have value, but they might not need all the value. So it's offering value in a next step that makes sense for what they've shared with you.
So I love the tactical side on it, but going back to your purpose of the phone call in those 35 hours was to make this the best phone call of the day. So yes. You're trying to create an experience or an outcome. People love to buy. They hate to be sold to, right?
Exactly. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I just think it's like when you get on, the reason I say like you have to have confidence in your value is that my confidence, if I know that people love to buy stuff, they don't want to be sold to. They love to buy stuff that they want. So if I know what my, call it persona or my avatar of who would actually want my services or my products, I'm going to be the expert of my product and services and be clear on who actually is going to get the most value out of it. So if I come into that call knowing that I can change your life, whether it's saving you 15 minutes a day or getting you into a house or changing your physical, you know, health and whatnot, because I am so confident that nobody else can do it at the level I can do. And you get on that call knowing I need to understand who you are, what you want, and what the outcome is that you need. And I need to ask questions around that and then be able to challenge people's preconceived notions and show them something they don't know so that they get an outcome. I was talking about another podcast about this is you don't buy a hammer for a hammer. You buy a hammer because you need to put a hole in the wall for either putting a nail or to actually, you know, rehab the project. So you don't really care about the hammer, which is the widgets and the things that people put out for 85,000 things I do for you. Person doesn't care about that. They want an outcome and they want to know that that outcome is done in a way that's actually conducive to how I want to be sold to.
Exactly. People don't want to buy your stuff. They want to buy your stuff because. And that phone call is to find out the because. People feel seen. People feel heard. And then you're making a recommendation based on what they shared. Exactly. You need to have confidence that you're going to offer them a solution, even if it's not the one that would benefit you the most. That's perfectly said. And the because. People don't want to buy your stuff. They want to buy your stuff because. And if you don't understand the because, you're not going to be as influential as you'd like when you make a recommendation.
And that's the difference when we talk to a lot of people, like they say, I need leads. I was like, you don't need leads. You need better follow-up. You need better conversations. And in your words, you need to be intentional about those relationships. So they're no longer salesy conversations. They're relationship conversations, right? You're no longer asking for business. You're asking about them and the business will follow.
Exactly.
So what's your personal mission, Andrea?
That's a good question. When you say personal, Joe,
off script, that took all of 8 minutes.
There's a reason why I'm asking this question.
Personal mission?
Besides the Eagles winning the Super Bowl this year.
This is different than my purpose. So my personal mission is that I feel like everyone needs just one person to believe in them. And if I can help other people have really impactful conversations that help other people feel seen and heard and be that one person in their lives, like that would be my mission. If all of my clients can have better conversations and have impact with all those people that they talk to, so those people feel seen and heard and supported, that would be a really great mission and legacy. Because society is moving so fast. I mean, if you think about, selfie, 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 everyone wants to be seen and heard. And we're moving so fast that they don't feel seen and heard. We need to slow that process down, because if people feel seen and heard, we'll have better relationships, we'll connect better, there'll be less, I don't want to say drama on social media, but like there's so much negativity that if we just slow down so people feel seen and heard, I think it'll be a better society overall.
And the reason I asked that question was to basically give people some of your journey on how that has like been a staple of when you were in brokerage leadership, then helping agents with their lead gen to find consumers and clients that they can support, to now being on exactly what to say in that organization. So if you could go through and say like, hey, how did you help people get belief in themselves in brokerage, to then in the sales teams, and then into exactly where you're at now? I mean, it helps people get perspective that it's not a transaction. It's not just a job, that there's actually meaning behind the activities you're doing. And I'd love for you to talk on that.
Okay. So early in my careers, and hopefully this will answer your question. Early in my career, there was moments where I felt something and I could not communicate it. Mm-hmm. I was an up and coming leader in corporate America, and I was sitting for my first review with my new boss. And he's like, Andrea, he's like, you're really direct and abrasive. Maybe if you wore pink, you'd come across a little more feminine. Now, I'm giving you content without context. Mm-hmm. In that moment, I was like, oh my God, if I was a man, would I be called a leader? Should I be compliant? Should I be upset? Should I wear more pink? And the context that's missing is that landed because it was one of my favorite leaders. He still is. I still talk to him. So I wasn't upset by that, but I was confused on how to communicate it better. So I had grace for that leader. So there's been multiple situations since then where I was not able to communicate how I was feeling, what I was thinking in that moment. So in helping people with lead generation and lead conversion, there's two things happening. Number one, it's their mindset. People aren't buying because of your widget. They buy from people that they know, like, and trust. It's not KPIs. Yes, we need KPIs, but it's KLTs. They're buying from people they know, like, and trust. So if you can put the relationship before the transaction, you're going to get way more transactions. So that's one piece of it. And people will feel more when they know that the conversation is relationship-based, they'll feel less salesy and they'll convert more leads. So I never want someone to feel like they can't communicate at their highest level when they're in the moments that matter, because I've been in the moments that matter and I've been silent. And the emotions were felt, but they weren't communicated till 10, 20 years later. And I want to help solve that problem today, because if you can help people have better conversations, like Jerry, the first guy I started with, 4 years ago with this company, he went from 134,000 in GCI to 760,000. That was life changing. He has five kids.
What was the main catalyst for that?
Better conversations. It can help them financially, which means they can have a better life with their family.
So when you look at somebody like that and you say, hey, that's a good business that he was doing, right? What's the catalyst for change where they have to get to kind of allow you to break them down to accelerate to that kind of growth?
This is before I knew Phil and some of Phil's work. They say that success in life is tied to the quantity of quality asks, or the quantity of asks you give. I believe it's quantity and quality of asks. So I just threw a question out. We're in Dunkin' Donuts in South Jersey. He has his readers. He comes in late. He had a fight with his wife. I'm allowed to tell the story. And he goes, "You have 5 minutes. What do you got?" And I was like, "Oh, a high D." So I sit up in my seat. I was like, "What can I?" I said, "You've been doing $7 million a year. What can I do to help you double your business?" And I guess that landed with him. He goes, "Meet me at Dunkin' Donuts in Williamstown in a week." He walked in with his wife a week later. The first time I had a husband and wife recruiting appointment. And we sat there for 2 hours. And understanding what was important about getting from $7 million to $14 million to $28 million and how it would financially affect their kids and their family and how they had struggled a little bit. Like the 2008, 2009 market almost killed him. He was depressed, couldn't get out of bed. And I have a feeling if he wasn't moved from that 2 hour conversation, Dunkin' Donuts, and to do some of the things that we did over the last few years, if when this market hit him, I don't know if he would have survived this last market. I don't know if he would have, reverted back to that. Like, to me, that's life changing for Jerry. So his catalyst was me asking, and I wasn't even that good at it at the time, was just asking him really intentional questions about what the move would do for him and his family. If you ask people really good questions, if they're available for it, that will be the catalyst.
You know, I love your honesty and your vulnerability, just literally just saying, I wasn't that good at it, but you were deliberate about it. And I think that's the difference when people have to understand the conversations that they have. There's a difference between deliberate intent and good, right? Because the good will follow through practice.
Yes.
The deliberate nature is the real, the raw caring that will lead into that relationship. And you can stumble your way through it while you get polished, right?
Exactly.
Right. That's a difference from sales and relationship.
I agree 100%.
So you mentioned Phil, right? And so I haven't really kind of drilled into this too much. We're talking about when you mentioned Phil, you're talking about Phil Jones. And for those of you listening, you may have read this book, right? Called Exactly What to Say. So how does a collaboration for you end up in the world of being a certified instructor for Exactly What to Say?
Oh, Lord, you ready for this? Okay.
Yes, please.
So I feel like you should always be learning. So I had someone who I was training. He was 18 years old. His name is David. And he told me about this book. I was like, all right, I'll listen to it. So I listened to the Audible in 2 days. And I started teaching it illegally. It's a licensed product. And I started sharing it with everyone I knew. And at that time, I was in charge of some inside sales agents and agents. So I was tracking their conversion. And it didn't matter if they were in the Philippines, Maryland, Texas, California, everyone's conversion went through the roof. I was like, oh my God, this stuff works. So I wanted to use the content in my own workbook. So I thought, I have two options. I can either go through a bunch of lawyers, which feels expensive because I was a new business, or I could do what where I can do what I do best, and I can cold call him. So I went on truepeoplesearch.com. I looked up Phil M. Jones, New York City, and he has a British accent, and he was the eighth person that I dialed. He picks up the phone, and I just threw up words on him. "Hi, my name's Andrew. Thank you for writing the book, blah, blah, blah." Like, and he's like, "How'd you get my number?" I'm like, "Don't worry about that. I'm a stalker." And I like blew that off, and I kept going with my own agenda. To my surprise, very gracious, and before I got off the phone, he said, "Let's collaborate. Here's my email." I sent him an email with probably every single magic word. Don't do that. It's the worst. And that was in June of 2022. To meet up with him in August 2022, because he was going to be at an event in Texas. So I was at the event, saw him present. He was amazing. And I was too nervous to email him to meet up with him. But I was not too nervous to borrow somebody else's name tag and sneak into a private luncheon where he was giving a private talk. So there I am with some guy, Ryan's name tag. So my friend's husband knew that I loved Phil. So they lent me his name tag and I'm sitting there like this. And he actually did a role play with a recruiting script. And I love this question. It was, you know, "Joseph, when was the last time you found yourself in a conversation focused solely on your success?" And I was like, if I had this stuff when I was a recruiter, I would have been dangerous. So from there, I saw on Instagram that he was bringing on these guides. So of course, I sent him a message like, "Hey, I'm interested in this. Actually, I'm sitting in the same spot where I interviewed." So I get on Zoom. It's him. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so nervous. I cry about my dog. And he told me what the requirements were. And I got off the call. I was like, listen, I'm sold, but I have to talk to my husband. I'm newly married. And I went to five people who were like black hats, which is Joe's job, financial people. I was like, talk me out of this. No one talked me out of it. So I joined him in January, roll into New York City. I was like, I know scripts and role playing. Like I was intimidated, but confident in the material. The book's $10, by the way. After 90 minutes, I was like, I have no idea what I'm talking about. There's a whole other level of this content that I didn't even know about. And it talks about the principles behind the content. And I said, I promised myself two things. Number one, I'm not going to talk in front of this man for the next year because he's so intentional and focused on language that sometimes, you know, you don't want to say anything stupid in front of your mentor. That's number one. Number two, he said, whatever you're most certain about, start to become curious, because if you're no longer curious about what you're doing, you're not going to grow in that. And we were just up in New York City and he brought in Dr. Greg. I think it was Dr. Greg Wells. And it was amazing. I would encourage you to read up on that guy. And what Dr. Greg said and what Phil said is the more you learn, the less you feel like you really know. So I'm going to encourage both of you gentlemen that whatever you are like really certain about in your life, start to get curious.
It's funny you put that out there as I saw a quote about curiosity. I think it was yesterday, and we didn't plan this, but it was basically like, curiosity is an amazing thing, and if you can stay curious a little bit more, it could change your life.
Yes, it could. Okay. Have you seen the Ted Lasso clip about curiosity when he's playing darts?
Yes.
I would love to do that. I just can't. I can't get behind soccer. I just can't. I'm sorry. There's just something about soccer. I just can't. Like, I can't.
I've never watched Ted Lasso, and I've probably watched that clip 10 to 15 times. It's powerful.
Very powerful. Joe, I'll send it to you after the podcast. Very, very powerful.
Well, much appreciated. You know what? Totally off topic, but still gets into what you're getting about is curiosity, is that what you just went through for everybody listening is – changing your environment.
You can either change for your environment or you can change your environment. Carlos Garcia, who's another guide, said that to me about a week ago, and I can't get it out of my mind because I significantly changed my environment and it changed my life, because it took me 14 years prior to joining the guide community. It took me 14 years in corporate America to have the annual income that I've created and exceeded in the last year with Phil and the community.
No, I completely agree with you. Like, literally through what you were just talking about through your journey for like our listeners, is that you hear this a lot in different like trainings of like change your environment, who you hang out with matters, all these like conceptual things. And most of us are like, well, what's the tactical? Tell me exactly how it's going to do it. Like in this need for black and white certainty in a world where it's actually gray. And you just talked about, hey, I went out and just did it. I was uncomfortable. I didn't know what the heck I was going to do, but I was forced myself into a room, come hell or high water, hook or by crook, I was going to get in there. And you didn't know where it was going to go. You didn't have like a map or a, you know, some of us like Dave need MapQuest. Some of us like myself need Waze. But like my point being is that the environmental change that you put yourself into structurally goes back to, I think, two things in leadership that I constantly go back to when I'm frustrated is I can control two things. I can control the conversations I have and I can control the environment I'm in. Those are the two things I have absolute control on for an autonomy piece. So you don't feel like you're totally out of control. And then from there, you've got to recognize there's curiosity and then just the ability to recognize that there's people doing things above me and better than I am. And I can learn from that. And those network and relationships will actually really change my life.
Exactly. And because David said, you know, I appreciate you being honest that you weren't that good at asking questions back then. The last year and a half, David, have been the most chaotic, messy growth of my career. I've been anxious. I've been scared. I've been nervous. And the one thing that community has given me is the grace to mess it all up. It's okay to be messy. That gray space, Joe, I'm going to encourage everyone who's listening, get messy, It's going to be messy before it's beautiful. And like, it's not black or white. Like Phil says something often. He's like, everyone's building their plane as they're flying it. And no one actually really knows what they're doing. Like even at the highest level, I've seen his own community and his own brand evolve. I love the exactly what to say guy community. And in addition to that, his business acumen, Joe, it's like nothing I've ever seen. Because I like wheeled right up next to him when I first became a guide. I'm like, so I have a question about income streams. Like I asked him like really personal questions because I wanted to get there and I realized that no one's going to get me there. I had to bet on myself and I had to do the work because a lot of other people in my life is like, oh, I'll help you do this and do that. And I felt like those were words, but no one actually took the time to believe in me and help me get there. So Phil challenged me. I just taught when I was in New York, I taught rapid business growth. And I was vulnerable with my numbers, my P&L, the people in the audience. And to think about what's ahead for next year is just like the income level. It's not about the money. It's about what I can do with the money. Just feels so unreal to have it just happen in a year and a half.
You said one thing for everybody that's like, you know, whether or not you're a small business owner, or a team lead, or you're leading, you're responsible for people. Let's call it that. There was a book called Beyond the Hammer that I just finished reading. The guy in the small business construction contracting business, it's a great book. It's an easy read, great storytelling, and then gives like tactical stuff for those who are like, hey, great inspiration, and then tell me how to do it. One of his quotes on like, I think it was like 5 to 7 things of like what you need to do in like a business, and one of them is always be a people training and development company. And for those, what Phil did was not a interest in your KPIs or business metrics or training on the business. It was a firm discussion on people development, because if you can develop people into aspects, because you can't just say, hey, you're coming into the office, now it's all professional. You're taking the whole person, and the ability to understand that I'm going to have to coach the entire person and be able to help them develop in an aspect that might not be directly tied to the business, but that trust, that impact, that care causes complete loyalty, but causes a whole lot of drive on the professional side to perform, because it's like, they did this for me. And there's the idea of reciprocity inside of sales or in life, that if someone helped me over here, I owe it to them to fulfill that personal favor. So I think it's amazing for people to hear that.
Because one of the things that Phil talks about is the 3 key ingredients to becoming influential and in any conversation is curiosity, empathy, and courage, and spending the time to ask the questions. Like you said, it's not always going to be about work. Asking those questions to see what's important to that person to be able to drive behavior. Like that, it's the whole person. Yeah. The whole person.
Andrew, a lot of this conversation for you, and you know, our conversation always going different ways, but what I'm hearing, there's a lot of personal growth. And there's a lot of recent personal growth that I'm hearing from you. And you know, knowing, you know, the areas where you've lived, you come back, like the community that you're in, there you came from corporate America. And there's a lot of security in working in corporate America and really well compensated for what you do. I want to hear, right, what was the decision to kind of get away from that and say, I'm going to be an entrepreneur? Because that's a radical change for people, right? When they think about, hey, you might, maybe something you grew up around, that's how I grew up. I grew up with people and pensions and working for companies for a long time, right? Entrepreneur was not in my world. How did that surface for you? And then how did you get your arms around the decision to say, I'm going to go out and do this on my own?
There's, thank you. That's a great question. There's two parts, and I'm going to make it concise as I can. I was studying a lot of Tony Robbins when I was in corporate America. And my boss at the time had said, hey, I'm going to come in next week. You know, I need to meet with you. And she was coming in from DC. And something didn't feel right. And I had been at this company for 14 years. And I told my team, I said, I'm going to get laid off next week. They're like, no, you're not. I was like, yes, I am. I just feel it. So I packed up my desk and wiped my computer, made sure my corporate card was good, showed up in our office in a suit with my corporate card, my ID, my laptop wiped. 30 minutes before she came in, she was surprised to see me there early. However, I could only control the controllables. Okay. And she was like, hey. I was like, hey, great to see you. Did you get your hair cut? 90 seconds later, after 14 years, I was laid off. On the way home, I called my dad, David, and I said, Dad, I just got laid off and I'm really excited. Are you okay? Because I've been taught, get a job, you get a 401k, you go to college, you get married, you have kids. However, I knew at that point when I worked at Lincoln Financial that I was meant for more. And my old boss was personal friends with Tony Robbins. So a year before getting laid off, I was going to Tony Robbins events and evolving and growing there. So then that led me to move to DC. I opened a gym. We went from 18 people in my basement to 100 people, 200 people in 5 months. Then I moved to DC for Reebok and I grew from there. I did get recruited back to kind of corporate America, Joe, in the recruiting of real estate agents. And what I learned working with entrepreneurs is, you know, they were small business owners. They had the problems, which I started to have as a small business owner a number of years later. However, in that path, when I kind of went back to corporate America, is I was depending, intentionally or not intentionally, for other leaders to help me get where I wanted to go. And I wasn't stepping into owning it myself. So when COVID happened, I always had this business because after interviewing 3,000 small business owners, real estate agents, I was like, the one thing they're really struggling with is finding clients, lead generation, lead conversion. So I said, baby Jesus, what can I do that I'm really good at where I can live anywhere in the world? Meaning I was not coming back to Delaware County, Pennsylvania, but God had other plans. And baby Jesus was like, you're really good at making phone calls. So I resigned on a Friday and met with Jerry on a Sunday. I said, I had this idea. Can I start this company in your database? That's how the Phone Fairy, which is now Rookie to Rainmaker, was born. And like my first hire was my hairdresser, taught her how to prospect. It was great. So in that journey, I realized that corporate America is not safe because they can fire you at any point in time. And something that I do know is I'm always going to show up. I've been role-playing by myself before it was like popular for 4 years, not myself, but like a handful of people for 4 years from 8:39 Monday through Friday. And now it's like popular. Ooh, we're going to role play together with these cards and stuff. So it's like, I know I'm always going to show up for myself. So sometimes I say something that's a little saucy is I'd never wanted to work for myself, David. I work for myself because I couldn't get where I wanted to go with the people who were in my world. So I felt like I had to take it into my own hands and do it myself. Because no one cares more about what you want than you do.
I love that. It's terrifying and freeing at the exact same time.
There, like to me, corporate America is uncertain. Yeah. Me betting on myself, I'm certain about that. And I wake up and I have so much drive every day because I never want to go and build someone else's dream. And it's okay if you are in corporate America or you have a support role. That's your choice, right? My choice is that I don't want someone else to tell me how much I'm worth. I'm going to determine that.
I love that. I was having a conversation with somebody, and I think this is a default position for a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. I want so-and-so to be successful, and I want to be the conduit for them to get there. And I made them stop. I said, forget that noise. I literally said, what's your dream? And they didn't know how to respond to me because they were so entwined with making sure the other person was successful, and they felt that that was their job. I said, no. They're leveraged. There's somebody in your world that you need to be around, but what does that look like for you? And nobody had asked them that before.
See, David, it's a really good question. And when they're like, well, I want to do this. I want to help Joe succeed. That's about me. Because I want to be the one that helped Joe succeed. And it's very selfish, but it doesn't sound selfish. It sounds helpful.
Right.
And I'm glad that you asked. That's a great question that you asked them. I love making people speechless, don't you, David?
I do.
It's one of the most empowering situations, and you can probably go to ego on it, Andrea, is definitely when you hit somebody with a speechless question, because you're like, damn, I got it finally. Then you get your awful, yes, I stumped you. I stumped you because you never thought about it, right? And I think the first going to mindset is asking people questions they either are afraid to answer because they're probably aware of it, or they weren't even in the environment that was conducive to asking that question in general, right?
And even showing them what's possible.
Yeah, because you're, what you're talking about is internal motivation, right? That like there's no better drive than the one that's internal, because external motivations are fleeting or negative, in my opinion. And like if you can tap into your internal motivation, there's not a rock, there's not a, you know, a wall, there's not an impediment that will stop you from that, mainly because like that's actually the biggest driver of people. And I think it's also one of the best interview questions that you can have with you know, teammates, is like, what is this person's motor? And until you figure out what that motor is, you're never going to be able to unlock the greatness of that individual.
Say it again for those louder in the back. If you don't understand what's important to that person, you cannot persuade or motivate them.
You know, listen, Andre, this has been great. And I really appreciate you spending the time with us today. And look, I'm going to walk around with a smile on my face all day, because twice today, Joe, okay, in this conversation, I had a Phil Jones, Andrea Daniels stamped excellent question saying, David, that was an excellent question. So you made my day to make me feel like I'm doing something well. So thank you for joining us on Entrepreneurial Impact.
Great question. I was like, wow. Like I had to stop and think.
And everybody listening, so thanks everybody for tuning in to Entrepreneurial Impact. Once again, Andrea is a certified guide for exactly what to say. So if you ever want to reach out, have her come in, facilitate trainings in your organization, please reach out to Dave or myself. We're happy to link her up for that one, because she's an amazing coach. And like I said, what Dave just brought up was the positivity of walking away from this call. From the beginning of this episode, I told you, you get around Andrea, you're going to come out with some positivity, because there's nothing negative about this individual. And I think it brings light to everybody, especially because of just the experience that she's had and the impact that she's had on people around her. So with that, thanks everybody for tuning into Entrepreneurial Impact. Give us a like, give us a follow. And until next time, have a great week.